shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to the Mastercast, the Man United Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Haider Obani, and you know that Rob Blanchett is joining me. As always, Rob, we're sitting here. We did say last week that Man United could very much lose to Everton. We kind of predicted it. And here we are sitting. Man United have lost 1-0 to Everton, a side who are battling relegation, a side who are in disarray, really having a difficult time, Frank Lampard. And of course, Man United are the side that kept them the 3 points. Lack of quality, like we say every single week, lack of application. We're going to talk about quality and application today. Pretty shameful, pretty spineless, not surprised. Things aren't going to get better between now and the end of the season. And, you know, there are a lot of comments here saying, you know, outfought, outplayed, embarrassed. They don't want to hear "we go again" from these players. This is a bad, bad football team. Before we go into that, guys, as always, give us a follow on at TF Mastercast. Give myself a follow on at Haider underscore Rabani. And give Rob a follow on at underscore Rob underscore B. What are your thoughts, Rob? Shocking.
Not surprised, first and foremost. A highly unlikable football team today gave a really bad, useless football team 3 points. That's the story of the match. I think what we're all seeing, and I kind of tweeted a few things out during the game. I don't really like to tweet during matches generally, but I did a few tweets today because obviously setting up this podcast and this show just to kind of put some thoughts out there for fans to digest before they start watching, is that this Man United team, it does not matter what's going on now and what's going on next season and what you think in the future. Nobody solves this. As it stands today, if you give this to Erik ten Hag, and this is what he has to work with for the foreseeable future, no one fixes this. He doesn't fix this. The problems that Man United have got are so in-depth, so cultural, so crazy, that none of this comes down to tactics, the basics, motivation, all the stuff that we kind of talk about in football all the time. It's just a combination of stuff. It is the perfect storm. So as I said to you before we went live, Haider, you know, this is really about, you know, application versus quality. Yeah, how those two things are both very, very important at football teams. But when they both collapse simultaneously, that's what you get, what you just watched at Man United travelling to a really bad Everton team. It doesn't matter whether you've got the greatest striker of all time in your team or a guy who signed a new contract for double his money or the best centre-back in the world or the worst centre-back in the world or the best goalkeeper. It does not matter. What matters is that you need to change it now. You need to find a way to dig into this. Absolutely pull the roots out of this plant, yeah, and burn it and bin it. And find a way to start. Now, you can't get rid of everyone. You really can't. But we're going to go through today, look at today's performance, look at some of the tactics, and kind of look at why it fell apart and why it's been falling apart for a while. Because for me, this is not a tactical problem anymore. Now, this is about culture. It's about a fundamental issue. About if I'm a Man United player, what do I have to do every week, Haider? Yeah, I've got to at least bring something, haven't I? And this lot, they bring so little.
Got a lot of you in the chat today. Guys, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you see this on Twitter as well, give it a retweet. Want to get as many people involved in the comments today. Want to hear all of your opinions. There is a comment here, Rob, saying, why isn't Ralph playing youth? We actually had this conversation just now. Mm-hmm. Fair. We will discuss this a little bit later on.
Definitely.
Let's start with the game because, you know, that's where we always start with these shows. United setting up 4-2-3-1. To be honest, Rob, I didn't really see a traditional 4-2-3-1 today. I saw Fred pushing up a little bit more. What we saw today, obviously no Varane. I don't know if you're a little bit concerned with his injury record. He is getting injured quite a lot. That was something we saw in the last 2 years at Real Madrid. I actually spoke to a couple of Real Madrid fans before he signed. And something they did say was that, you know, his availability was a big problem. No doubting his quality and class. I think he's had a difficult season. None of this defence, you know, generally speaking, whether it's Dalot in at right back instead of Wan-Bissaka or Shaw playing for Telles, has covered themselves in glory. But what we saw is we saw Matic playing in midfield, probably one of Man United's more technically secure players in terms of possession. And then we saw Rashford back in on the left-hand side. I thought he did all right. I was surprised he came off for Sancho today, to be honest. I thought Sancho had another shocking game. That's two games in a row, probably his two worst games for United. Bruno, wasteful. We saw Ronaldo start up top. When you have a look at this side, I mean, look, it's the same. It doesn't matter what Ranić's doing. It doesn't matter who he's putting out there. It's the same sort of performances, the same issues. What I am very frustrated at, Rob, is that we're going to talk about that quality and application. You know, there are obviously players in there that do lack quality, but that doesn't mean that United can't string more than three or four passes together. That's what a professional footballer and football team should be able to do. And that's the fundamental problem here, is that where does quality start and end, and where does application come in and attitude? We hear a lot of things that these players, you know, they lack attitude, you know, as in they lack fight, they lack desire. But, you know, I'm sitting here and thinking, how can all these players look poor? How can they all look at the same level? Then I think you've got to step back and have a look at the environment of the club and think, there is a deeper rooted issue. We do know that from top to bottom, the club is toxic. Whatever player that comes in looks negative, looks poor, regresses. And I have that concern when the next manager comes in, because if he isn't allowed to do what he wants to do and bring who he wants to bring in and imprint his own philosophy, principles, culture into his club, he's going to go the same way as what we've seen in the last decade since Sir Alex has gone.
Absolutely. And this is why I think Man United fans need to be careful what they wish for and also how patient they're going to be going forward, because it's going to get worse. It can only get worse because you're starting off, even with a new manager, everyone kind of starts again. So, yeah, you might see uptakes or some performances get better from some players. Some players might fall off. Some get sold. You get new players. It starts to move again. I said on my other show on the Promised Land that I didn't feel bad about any of it at the moment. And the reason why I don't particularly feel bad about it is because I know that there's a lot of work to do here. This is more than losing to Everton, isn't it? You know, but losing to Everton is just endemic of where you are today. You see that football team and what the issues are. Talk today about quality and application. You couldn't have more quality than at the very top end of the pitch than the greatest striker of all time. Yes, he's getting old, but he's got quality, hasn't he? That's what he is. We know that he has been the highest standard striker probably of all time. And in your midfield, you've got someone like Bruno Fernandes, just signed a new deal. He's got quality. You've got other players that have shown over the years that have got quality as well. But now when you put them all together, and we're talking about this from going back over the whole of this season, something just isn't there. Those two things do not meet each other. So what happens is the quality subsides because these players get frustrated or start trying stuff they shouldn't try. But then the flip side of it is there's no energy to anyone's game. So you saw again today with United, there were periods where they had the ball, they popped it around, certainly early in the game. Then they went 1-0 down. Then they kind of rejigged again, second half come out. They ended the game stronger than Everton, but they don't have that kind of final move in them. Everyone doesn't want to pass the ball. Everyone doesn't want to cross it. Everyone doesn't want to take the risk. It's like, I'm in my position, but it's up to you guys to kind of do it. And you feel that about Man United. I don't know if you feel that, Haydar. You know, you look at them and it's that kind of, there's this, I was saying it just to my son a minute ago before final whistle. I went, it's classic with United that the players do their jobs and you can kind of see them going, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You lot need to kind of get on with what you're doing. And they're just fragmented, disconnected from the back.
Lack of accountability, though, Rob. It's lack of accountability on the pitch with these players. Yeah. They think that they're too good. And, you know, United don't get into Europe. They're going to walk away and, oh, we want to leave because we haven't got Champions League football. You don't deserve it. You're not good enough to be playing Champions League football.
See, I don't think they think they're too good. I think they think they're rubbish. I think they look at each other and they say, we're not a very good team. And they believe that. And then they try and fake it. That's what I believe. When I watch Man United, I see them all doing their individual roles because obviously Ranić's prepared them. They've all watched the tape. They've all done the miles. They've all done the work beforehand. And then they go out on a football pitch, Haydar, and their personality unravels. And you see it in every game. So I don't think the Cristiano's at the top end of the pitch going, I'm the greatest striker of all time. I don't think Bruno Fernandes is going, oh, great, I'm on £250,000 a week now. I think they're going, they're looking round at each other and they're going, I don't trust you. If I give the ball to you, I don't trust you. And oh no, now I've made a mistake. And you see that cycle over and over and over again. It goes back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the start of the season, and it goes to what's happening now with Ralf Rangnick. Two completely different styles of coaching who cannot get it right with this set of players. So this is what I was saying about ripping the root out, because you're going to have to do it. And this is what I said weeks ago as well about Cristiano and Bruno and Marcus and Harry Maguire, is that they're your senior players. If they cannot drag you through the bad times, you're stuffed. You haven't got a chance. And it really does mean that, you know, you've given Bruno Fernandes that contract last week. It's bad timing. This, nothing should be about contracts and stuff at the moment. It should be about getting things right and playing at least to a decent standard. This lot cannot play that. I do not believe that any of them trust each other. There's no partnerships on the pitch. No one looks to the left or the right and feels happy. You can see it. Can you not feel it? I do. I watch that and I think now there's a lack of trust out there. Because even when the ball's wide, players are thinking, well, if I cross it in, is someone going to attack it? You can see it. And then the players in the middle are looking and going, well, the ball's not coming in anyway. So that's a bad place to be, isn't it? That's something that Ralph Rangnick cannot fix. He cannot fix that in the short period of time that he's had. It's up to players, isn't it, to take the impetus to show that they can take control on a football pitch.
I'm going to read some comments out here, Rob. One from Ajmal saying, after the 4-0 battering at Everton, Ollie said many players will be gone, but six of them played today. Lindelof, Pogba, Matic, Fred, Rashford, De Gea. Yeah, look, that, and I think that encapsulates...
And that's not Ollie's fault. That isn't Ollie's fault. That's the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that definitely encapsulates the issue. And you're seeing all these reports coming out about Erik ten Hag. He wants full control. I actually respect him a lot for turning around and saying that. I don't want to sign, you know, he doesn't want to sign on a dotted line until he knows that he's got full control to rip up this squad, keep who he wants, get rid of who he wants, bring in who he wants, bring in the profiles he wants, the profiles that fit his philosophy, his system, his principles. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, Rob, you still look at this squad and you think, so, you know, Ollie obviously wanted to play, you know, a high line. He wanted to play attacking football. But then he wanted to have defenders that were good in one-on-one duels, good on the ball. And it doesn't make sense why he signed, you know, people like Wan-Bissaka and Maguire, in my opinion. And then you look at, you know, for example, with Jose Mourinho, when he was here and he, you know, we got to second and then they didn't bring in the players to push on. And this is the biggest problem, is that we're in this vicious, vicious cycle where we can talk about the players on the pitch and they are the problem. But ultimately, you know, this squad is so poorly built, so like... four different managers with different philosophies coming in. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I think when I see fans blaming Rangnick, I was a bit puzzled with some of Rangnick's substitutions, if I'm honest. I did say this to you off air. I didn't understand Mata coming on. Why are you bringing someone who's going to leave at the end of the season? Give the minutes to someone like Hannibal. And then I also see the other side of the argument. Don't bring in the youth now, because what will happen is, you know, we've got a very poor environment. You don't want to kill the confidence. I see both sides of the argument. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I know Ralph's trying to get top four. The season's done. And just play the players. But then I also don't agree with the idea that people are blaming Rangnick. It's, you understand what I'm saying? There's so many different issues at the moment, and you're seeing Ronaldo get blamed, Rangnick getting blamed, you know, Ollie getting blamed, everything. And it's just, United need the absolute reset. And if you're not going to allow the manager to do that in the summer, then we're going to see this again. And we're going to be 2 years down the line into the Ten Hag project, and he's getting sacked because he's not, you know, challenging and being able to build this club and develop it further.
If things stay as they are now and United do not get a reality check in terms of their philosophy, Erik ten Hag will be sacked in 12 months. Guarantee it. Because Erik ten Hag will not be able to work with what's going on at Man United at the moment. So I got a little bit of flack last week when I said, when, you know, it's breaking through certain outlets, ESPN specifically, saying that the deal was done. The Manchester United were imminently about to appoint their new manager. And from the kind of information that I had, that was not the case, because Erik ten Hag has said, I want X, Y, and Z before I sign any contract. And Manchester United have not been prepared to give X, Y, and Z to any manager since the start of time. So that's a difficult crossroads, because Erik ten Hag has got other options for Manchester, but rather than just Manchester United. So I think we're not as quite close to an appointment yet, but Man United have been very strong in the sense that they're trying to get that out through the press now. So it's a wait and see, but I think Erik ten Hag will get the job, because I think they'll all compromise, because that's generally what happens in deals. But when you look at what's going on at Man United, you look at the players, there's a real chemistry issue with how they stand up for each other. So I said this again weeks ago, that, you know, do these United players really like each other? You know, because when you work with people, even if you dislike them, you can be professional, can't you? You can get on with your work. But when you like the person you sit next to, or you work in a team, you are much stronger when you like each other. Now, I don't say you go out on your recruitment drive to find players that like each other. That's not a thing. Rashford and Sancho are both good mates. They do like each other. They hang out with each other. But what you see here is just a load of individual entities at Manchester United. And everyone looks very isolated. Like, I look at Wan-Bissaka on the right. He looks like an isolated figure. Telles doesn't really look... I called him once a former footballer, and I still feel that every time I see him. He doesn't do any of the real core work that you need. Harry Maguire's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. Then you've got Fred running around like mad. Matic kind of doing this thing that he does, sitting deep and trying to dribble now and then. Bruno Fernandes literally playing everywhere but being not effective. Cristiano Ronaldo getting one or two shots off, and that's the end of his game. There's so many players that are just disconnected. And it's very easy, isn't it, to blame the manager on it. And that comment was perfect about what Ole said when obviously it happened at that game at Everton. You lose 4-0, you know, and he kind of made that hint and said, you know, it's time to move some players on. But who moves them on? The manager can say go, but it's the club. So again, I retweeted something out about Ralph Raniak saying to Jesse Lingard that you can go. He said it, didn't he, publicly at Christmas, that you can leave the football club. I give you my blessing. And he didn't leave because Manchester United didn't let him. And Jesse Lingard hasn't been able to help Man United at all in the last 6 months. So who is that? Whose fault's that? Ralph Raniak or the board? It's always the board at Man United. So this is why I'm not happy, because the board are going to be here forever. You're never going to get rid of them. And you can change the coach perpetually, you know, every year, every 2 years, unless you have the philosophy in place to play good, attractive, attacking football. It's not going to happen. And as it happens at the moment, Man United simply, I keep catching my earphones there, Man United keep going for shirt sellers, and Man United are really only bothered about their bottom line more than they are about creating a football team. And that is a massive, massive issue.
I do want to touch on this point here. Good comment here from Query Master. The interim appointment has backfired big time. The moment the players got a sniff that Ralph's not going to be there long term, mm-hmm. they just became unhinged. We've said that quite a few times on the show. Mm-hmm. And almost sitting duck, a lame duck, you know, in terms of, doesn't matter what Raniak says, because mate, he's out the door. And, you know, there's a clean, let's say, a clean slate for some of these players, or some of them are going to go because they don't feel wanted. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it was difficult. We've said this before, for the club to kind of point who they wanted to. We had this conversation last week. So if anyone hasn't seen that, go and check that out. Last week's Masterclass after Leicester game, we did speak about this. Why United didn't actually go and get Pochettino when, you know, they really wanted him. Why Ten Hag's not here initially. That we discussed that. But Rob, ultimately, at the end of the day, and this is why when the news came out, obviously, with Ogden saying that, yes, the deal's nearly close or it's finalised, fans were just so excited. You know, oh, yes, that's it. Pep Regent, all this nonsense. And I'm just sitting there thinking...
Shut everyone up.
The thing is, though, Rob, I'll tell you how I feel when I don't feel excited. I feel a bit numb when I think about, okay, the next manager, even if it's someone like Ten Hag, who, with the right conditions, could be absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Even if it was Pochettino coming in, I genuinely feel numb. Do you know why? Because nothing's fixed. No manager can come in and just click their fingers and fix it. There's so much work to be done from a granular level, from top to bottom. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, we've got this new footballing structure. People saying, well, Ed Woodward's out the door. But we have seen no tangible evidence to suggest that Richard Arnold will be any better. He's saying all the right things. I think, you know, we are bringing football people in, but we don't know how this structure is going to work. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Joel Glazer is going to have the sign-off, isn't he? So this is a thing. And with Ten Hag goes and loses two or three games, you've said this before, or, you know, United are sitting down sixth or seventh next season, these same people that are so excited about Ten Hag getting the job are going to go and turn on him. And this is the point, is that we're in this horrible, vicious cycle. And ultimately, the issues at the club run so deep. They're not going to give the manager the power to get rid of who he wants, bring in who he wants, build his football team, patience. It's going to be the same story in 2 years, 3 years' time.
Do you know, I think that if you'd given Raniak a contract to do the job properly, I think Man United would be in the top four now. I really do, because players would have responded differently. Players would have gone, he's my boss, I have to listen to him and I have to get on with my work. But what we have seen is exactly what happens when you bring in an interim in that way, when they know he's going. And Fred said it weeks ago. Fred was interviewed at Champions League first leg against Atletico Madrid, where obviously Man United got that really good result in the Spanish capital. But he had said before the game, it's tough for players because we don't know who the next manager is and we don't know if the next manager wants us. And you hear that and you think, yeah, that's what's going on here. You know, these players, how can they commit to something that they're not being told anything about? Man United are holding all their cards close to their chest and none of the players have a clue what's going on. And they're playing like they haven't got a clue what's going on. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of like, well, this guy is the manager now, but, You know, if I turn up today and I don't play well, does it matter tomorrow? Well, the truth is, no, it doesn't matter. Because if Man United come 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, that's the Glazers who care about the league position, isn't it? But players know that pre-season starts in a few months' time and it's a clean slate and you start again. And you can see that in so many of the players' performances. You know, you said there about Marcus. You know, I thought Marcus played all right today. I think he had a better game than he's had in recent weeks, but the bar is very low for him at the moment. You know, we're looking for more from him. But he's got to be in that situation where he's thinking, do I stay here? Because I've got offers on the table. Because he has. Barcelona want him. He's got that offer. It's a huge offer. Or do I walk? You know, what do I do? Do I hang around when this football club, and I've been in my whole life, has just messed me about since I was like 16 years old? You know, they've never built anything behind the scenes. So why should I be the blame for what they're doing wrong? And I see that in Marcus Rashford's game. I really do. So I think that this is, you know, like you just said, they're being numb. It's kind of how I feel as well. But at the same time, I feel relaxed about it because I think to myself, unless United change all of these fundamental issues, it doesn't really matter who your coach is next year. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you come 4th, 5th, 6th or 7th. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that you start afresh properly. You know, you sell the players that don't help you. I say it every week. You buy players that do help you and you have a coach with a philosophy and you play the game and you build. And if it takes you 2 years of really bad results, you take it on the chin and you get on with it because that is football. That's sport. So I think this is the whole thing with United now is that, you know, losing to Everton doesn't really mean a lot. It means a lot to Everton. They want the points and you could see which team really wanted it today. But you've got to be ruthless, Haydar, in your selection now with recruitment and selling and buying and doing the fundamentals of building a football club. You are going to have to get rid of Ronaldo. I'm sorry. He sells you loads of shirts, 25 million quids worth of wages go out to his bank account every year. It doesn't help you win football matches. Bruno Fernandes has got his new deal. He needs to earn it again. He shouldn't have been given that deal. Give him the deal in the summer. You don't have to do it today. You did it today to shut up Man United fans. I keep using that thing there because that's what United tried to do to the fan base. Tried to gag them with, you know, little kind of morsels of niceness. But Bruno needs to go and prove it, whoever the next coach is, because he isn't doing it. He really isn't doing it. You know, even look at his numbers, they're not there what they normally are. But then there's every player you can look at that. You know, we talk about Maguire. Again, I thought he was useless today. Rashi was better, but might be going. Paul Pogba comes on. And Paul Pogba, you can see, is just like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm not staying. Why should I stay here? This is rubbish. I'm not going to win anything at this football club. You know, and I do not blame him. You know, you can talk about his personal form throughout the years that he's been at Man United, the 6 years, and yes, it's been up and down. But today, if I'm Paul Pogba, doesn't matter what I feel about Man United, I'm going. Why should I stay here? So United have to do that now. They have to go through that cycle of making sure that the right players leave and that the right players come in, Haydar, because there is good players out there. You just got to buy them and turn them into a good team.
Rob, can I give an example of, you know, we've spoken many times, haven't we, that Ten Hag is obviously the popular choice with Man United fans on social media and generally with Man United fans. Look, Pochettino is Ian Dowie reincarnated now, apparently, after, you know, after 6-7 months ago, everyone wanted him. This is what I say all the time. And obviously, Ten Hag is the new Pep. So let's just go with that, because that is what the narratives are at the minute. I definitely see the benefits. And you know what? If Ten Hag comes in, I'll actually be quite excited in the sense that, you know, this is a real tactician. This is someone that's going to, who's very defined with his philosophy and his principles. Yeah. He's almost LVG-like as well. So people are, you know, sort of not taking that into consideration. But let's say, you know, for example, you know, we know that the Glazers look and the club looks at the engagement, don't they, online and social media, what the popular view is. So ultimately, at the end of the day, what we saw is Calvin Phillips got linked to Man United, didn't he, a couple of days ago? And there's a lot of talk. And he's a player who, and I tweeted this, I said, okay, he's English, but he's a player that can play in a single pivot. He does that for Leeds. He can press, and he's press resistant. He's good in possession because he plays in a possession based team.
England FC, though.
And I know you've been getting a lot of sick about
England
this as well.
FC.
And he's probably what, 50 to 60 million. So look, he's not cheap, but he's also not expensive. And the absolute outro, and this is a point. If the club, if Ten Hag has said, for example, yes, I want Calvin Phillips, and people would say this, let him bring in who he wants, let him sell who he wants. Well, if he wants Calvin Phillips, why are you now suddenly arguing and going crazy? He's rubbish, he's overrated, English tax, all this sort of stuff, Brexit FC. Do you know what I'm trying to say, though, is that people say one thing, and then ultimately, if Ten Hag goes, I want Rice and I want Phillips in my midfield. If that's who Ten Hag wants, we back that. And this is a problem. This is why I don't believe that people have the patience for 3 years of not challenging. Because they're crying because we're linked to English players. And this is the point. I don't care who comes in. If he fits the system and he fits what Ten Hag wants, he does the role at which the manager wants him to do it and fulfills it in that system, I'm happy. And this is a problem. And this is why I don't believe that people are going to give Ten Hag time, despite the fact, obviously, they really want him now.
Well, this is why I keep saying get prepared for it to get worse, because I think that United fans are never prepared for that. You see, they're never prepared for the hard work, you know, and I think this is always something we've seen manager to manager to manager. I've always said that when a new coach comes in, he needs 1 year to kind of bed in. You need to give him a year, and in a year two, you can start to decide whether a culture and philosophy is being built out of that manager. So like you just mentioned a one or two there. You know, I do think, obviously, Moyes went after 11 months. We don't need to talk about him, you know, but there are elements there where Man United got that wrong. With LVG, I think that he was trying to build a defensive system and kind of build out from the back. But my God, after 2 years, the football was dreadful. It was really bad. United won the FA Cup, but I was sat at those matches. I was there. I physically know how bad it was. Jose Mourinho, similar kind of issues in terms of starting well. Good, attractive football in the first year, second year, third year, well, fell off, end of that, that's gone, you're finished. Ole, great start, you know, get to second, fall off the cliff. So these are things, we're seeing this over and over again, aren't we? So there's nothing to suggest that Erik ten Hag will be different to this, because Erik ten Hag is a tactical coach. He's going to want to build a tactical team. If you do not give him the time to build a tactical team, you're going to get a bodge. You're going to get what you're seeing with Ralf Rangnick. Ralf Rangnick is a tactical coach who is having to bodge it now because he's looking for results. So like you just said there about the kids, I would love to see the kids played. But if I'm Ralf Rangnick, I'm not playing the kids. Why? Because it's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to try my best to get top four, whether the season's finished or not. I have to do that every week. So I'm going to pick an experienced player like a World Cup winner like Wan-Mata rather than bringing on Garancho or someone like that or putting him in my team. I get it. I understand why Ralf isn't doing it. But I think this is the problem, isn't it? Is that you can have someone who has a fundamental philosophy, and if you do not allow them to apply it over time, what do you get? You get Marmite. You like some of it. You don't like the other bits of it. And it's a pain. And you see with these players, you know, we saw for Crystal Palace for 45 minutes. They looked up for it. New manager. We can do this. We can run around. A bit tired now. This is a really tough way to play football, isn't it? I'm a bit tired to see how Liverpool and City do this every week. I'm not sure I can do this. And fundamentally, that is unravelled over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So we're seeing good bits of a counter-press, bad bits of a counter-press. And now, what have you got? 4-2-3-1, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's team again without Ole. That's pointless, isn't it? So we need to see something different. We've got to give Ten Hag time to fail. I say this every time. Give him time to fail. Give him time to lose. Give him time to see which players are really the problem and which players can help him win football matches in the years to come.
Absolutely. Rob, I'm going to read out some questions because there's some really good questions here.
Yeah.
So Jimmy over here saying, you know, we've proven it doesn't matter who's in charge. As long as the club continues in this role, we will fail. Do you see do you see us changing our approach? Or are Murto and Fletcher just for the optics? It's an interesting question. I did say this, and we did a show on this, when Murto did come in and the direct football was announced, everyone got very excited. I'm burnt. I've seen it so many times. And that's why this might sound a little bit silly, Rob, but, you know, United have lost today. I'm not raging. I'm expecting it. I'm just going to... We'll do this podcast and I'll clock off and I'll enjoy my weekend, enjoy the sun and just enjoy life. I'm not going to allow United to go and rule me like it used to. It's just the way it is now because we're so used to it. And I would say to a lot of people that we all consume our football in different ways, but don't let these guys ruin your life and your weekend, you know, because it's just not worth it because they're idiots. They're absolutely spineless idiots. But looking at this, and I did say this, that, you know, when I look, I need tangible evidence and it needs to be over a prolonged period of time, you know, two to three years. I did say when Murta comes in, you'll see if the director of football has the power rather than just a figurehead over two, three seasons to see. We've had one window, or let's say two windows with the January one, where we've had our director of football and technical director in. So ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't think we can say whether it's going to work or not. I think if Ten Hag comes in and say Rangnick actually has some influence, which I don't think he will, and let's say we get that deputy director of football that's been sort of bandied around. If we get those positions and we see United starting to buy the right sort of players, I think you can turn around and say it's just not for the optics. But ultimately, for me right now, there's zero evidence to suggest anything has changed.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of how, say, the Tories have won the NHS, isn't it, over years. It's kind of like you get loads and loads of top tier management. You change everything and say, oh, I'm fixing it. But then you don't actually fix the problem ever. You just kind of bodge it every time. You're trying to show that you're in control, but ultimately you're just a bit like, let them get on with it. And that's how I feel the board are with the team. So the board are like, well, yeah, we put all this money up, 1.25 billion, but it's like, well, yeah, but you've authorized all those players' signatures. What made you authorize buying that player? And then when you dig into the detail, it turns out with Manchester United, it's just a kind of roll of the dice, as I call it all the time with the Glazers. You know, that's how they recruit. Ronaldo, he's brilliant at Ronaldo. Roll that dice, you know. And that's how they play the game. That's why they're bad. So Liverpool and City are good because they have infrastructure that they've built from the ground up. Man United, a top-heavy organisation. You know, it's like a million people on the board. It's rubbish. You've got to have proper football people in there. Saying about Mertonal, I think the jury's out. You know, like if Manchester United have some success in the next year or two, we might be able to look back and say, oh, yeah, Murto had an influence on that. But I think really all Murto is doing is a bit of lip service to the fans. So United knew that we wanted a director of football. I talked about this the other day and said, you know, we held them to task a couple of years ago and said to the board directly through the media, we were like, you're out of touch. And they responded to that by saying, OK, we're going to change stuff. That was when Rio Ferdinand was linked with the director of football job at that time. It was a while back. But yeah, they've changed to that.
Thank God you didn't get it, Rob. Thank God.
That's another story. But, you know, you're giving it to Murto. You've brought Fletcher in. But the truth is, has it changed anything? The answer to that is not really, no. Did it help Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to have a director of football at that moment? No. So you need to have effective delegation from that area of the football club, and we do not have it. So if Ten Hag comes in, he's going to need that support from a director of football and all that structure around him. He's had it at Ajax over the years with, you know, CEO like Van der Sar, you know, football technical direction from Mark Overmars, other people at Ajax, a huge organisation, but not top heavy, not weighted too much on that side of it. People who know about football. I still worry about that. Do Man United know about football at the very, you know, top ends of this business? The answer to that is, of course, is no. They will go after stars. They will go after shirt sellers. But if someone says Julian Alvarez is available for 12 million quid, they go, oh, 12 million quid. That's our bonuses this year, isn't it? We'll save that. That's 12 million quid in our pockets. And that's a problem. And it happens all the time. This club does spend money on players, but my God, they've spent the money on all the wrong players over many, many years.
Absolutely. Guys, keep the questions coming in.
Yes, please.
Question here, and I'm going to link this question saying what decisions by the board would be considered as fundamental change. And I'll link this in with this question here saying, you know, do you think the board will allow Ten Hag to remove the players, for example, let's say Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, Rashford, and so on. What I will say, Rob, about what I'm going to bring this question up again, what decision by the board would be considered fundamental change? Firstly, the manager coming in and giving him all the power that he wants to do. And someone tweeted me after saying, well, you know, coaches don't do this anymore. You know, football's changed. You know, we can't get another Sir Alex. I understand that. But do you think that if Pep turns around and says, I want this player or I want this player gone, that, you know, he doesn't get what he wishes? Klopp's exactly the same. Or obviously you have to work with the director of football and the footballing side. So, for example, we always tell this story, don't you? Don't we? That Klopp wanted Julian Brandt, didn't get him. Salah was told him that this is the player closest to what Brandt offers in terms of output, playing style for your system. This is what the data's showing. This is what analytics are showing. Liverpool went and got him, and Salah's been unbelievable, hasn't he? Probably the best player over the last 4 years in the Premier League. And this is the point. So for me, it's about getting the manager in, allowing him to do what he wants to do. If he has a philosophy, if he has, you know, the principles, that should be shared with the board. And then that 3 to 5 year plan needs to be put in. So that means that, you know, they get the backing of the players to come in and out. That means that they have patience. It means that the vision, even if, you know, we're going off, we're having bad results. It's the plan still stuck to. Don't scrap it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, those in the footballing positions need to have the power, Rob. Because ultimately, if you've got Murto saying, okay, look, Ten Hag says, I want Antony for my right wing. Okay, cool. So you go to Murto, and Murto's like, okay, cool. And then we'll go to the Glazers, and the Glazers say, nope. You know, he's obviously too expensive, or they don't sign off on it, or they take too long to sign off on it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what's the point? Nothing changes. You're just bottlenecking up to the decision at the top.
Well, let's explain how modern successful clubs do it, and then let's explain how Manchester United do it and compare and contrast, because I think that this is really important for fans to understand. So we'll use Liverpool as a really good example, because I think, but we'll also touch on Manchester City. So yes, from the question there, and obviously the comment, football clubs don't operate in that way anymore, where a manager just makes all the decisions. You know, if Sir Alex goes, I want that player, I don't want that player, let's sell him, let's keep it. That doesn't happen anymore. Managers don't have influence on contracts. They don't have influence on wages and all of that. But how do Liverpool work, and why does it work? When Jurgen Klopp went to Liverpool, Liverpool had a very set structure. FSG had bought the football club, and they decided that they were going to rebuild the football club like they rebuilt the Boston Red Sox. They did that successfully. They won a World Series, and they managed to take a flailing giant and put it in the here and now to become relevant. And they did that with Liverpool. When Klopp came, Klopp said, I don't like this, 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 and this. If I have to manage like this, I'm not coming, not interested. I had this sort of control at Dortmund, that sort of control at Dortmund. Obviously, he'd left that football club at that point. But he was like, I need to be able to build stuff in my image. So like you just said there about Salah, there are going to be times when a manager says, I want that player, and the board says, no. And that's okay, because you're working together. So not every manager can get every player he wants. Jose Mourinho wanted Harry Maguire. Would that have made Jose Mourinho's team better? Well, here we are years later, kind of going, probably not. But he wanted him, and he didn't get him because United didn't want to pay 80 million at that point. And they did 12 months later. A little bit stupid from the football club, wouldn't you say? But going back to the Jurgen Klopp analogy and how it works there, is that Jurgen Klopp will work with the scouting department. Yeah, so Jurgen Klopp doesn't play football manager or championship manager and go, well, I'd love this player, I'd love that player. He looks really good. I watched him on Sky. It doesn't work like that. You have a scouting department that does all that work, all the analytics, and says, there's this lad called Diaz, playing really well, Colombian lad. What do you think about him, Jurgen? And Jurgen might go, don't know, not know much about him. And they go, right, well, here's the information. He could help your team. Jurgen Jota, you know, you could look at someone like Jota and go, have you seen, what do you think about him at Wolves? He might not rate him. But when you look at what they need, that's how they make the football club
work. And you look at the numbers as well and the stats. That's right.
The metrics and all of those things that go with it. So fans are more interested in that stuff now than they've ever been before. That's why we do this show. But that's how it works. City, very slight differences in the sense that they've got the whole Barcelona set up there at Manchester City. That's how they've built their club. That's why they got Pep. That's why they've gone where they've gone with their setup. Man United, on the other hand, what do Man United do? Man United had Sir Alex, who ran everything. And Sir Alex went out the door. David Moyes came in. And they kind of pretended to give Moyes power. That was a problem. Because David Moyes had no power. He managed to change the back room because that's what he wanted. But they gave him no signings. They gave him Fellaini and Mata. That was it. Didn't help him rebuild. And then they sacked him. Then Van Gaal came in. Lou Van Gaal changed everything. Changed the training pitch, trained the lighting at Carrington, got 10 players. 2 years later, got sacked. Jose Mourinho got a ton of players. Yeah, Mkhitaryan, Ibrahimovic, Pogba, Bailly, Lindelof. He got a load of players in and then got sacked. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got Ronaldo, got Sancho, got Varane, and got sacked. Is there a link between all of these things? Yes. The link is that Man United don't do it like other football clubs do. So Liverpool are working as a unit together, from board to strategy to commercialism to player recruitment to then letting the manager go and do what he does. So we're not saying that Ten Hag has to come in and be Sir Alex. We're not saying come in and he gets every decision, everything's on him. Yeah, results are on him, and that's the right way it should be. But you want him to come in to a setup that cemented Haidar, that knows what it's doing. And that is the worry, is that he'll come in and they'll promise him 200 million. The guy is 200 million. Let's choose some players. Yeah, you want that player. You want Antony, do you? You want Timber? Oh, he's not on our list. But yeah, all right, you can have him. And then a year or two's time, that progression just hits a brick wall because they're going, well, you're losing games, so we're not going to give you any more money. You know, or Murto, what do you think of this? Or Darren Fletcher, what do you think of that? That's not how you do it. You have to work as a unit. So this is where we need to see fundamental change at board level. The board have to be big enough to go, we don't know anything about football. We're 15 people on a board that know about shopping malls in America and the Tampa Bay team in the NFL and X, Y, and Z and hedge funds and what we know about that stuff. But my God, we don't know anything about football tactics. What we're going to do, we're going to employ people to do that for us. FSG did that. They got Klopp. That's why they're winning. City did that. A bunch of billionaires from the Middle East. They went and got the best in class. That's why they're winning. United, when Cristiano's 37, he sells a ton of shirts. Yeah, that's the right player to go for. Can you see where it's gone wrong? It's not rocket science, not difficult. It's a different philosophy. Man United need to get with the times. They need to be a modern club with a modern setup, not pretend to have a modern setup, because that's what I worry about with the current director of football. And certainly Darren Fletcher, who comes in and sits on the bench, I don't blame him, but, you know, football director shouldn't be sat on the bench. What's all that about? Yeah. So you bring in Ralph Rangnick. We bring in Ralph Rangnick, and Ralph Rangnick's a builder of football clubs, and you tell him not to do anything that he's good at. You say, pick a team. You might as well get Michael Carrick to pick the team. You might as well get Darren Fletcher to pick the team. Doesn't really matter, does it, at the moment, until you get your new coach in. You should have got your new coach in when you sat Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Even if it wasn't your number one target, should have been someone that could go and do the role and that you can support through a football process.
And at that time, it probably was Antonio Conte. And, you know, Spurs could be getting top four. And fundamentally, the difference for me, look, there is a quality difference. Yeah. Spurs have got better forwards. But that defence isn't particularly good. You look at Spurs' team, that midfield's all right. They bought well. Kulusevski looks a right player. It's good to see him hitting, you know, some of his potential. Bentancur was a good signing. But the point is that Conte has the power to say, right, if you're not going to work and you're not going to buy into what I'm doing, your lever is sitting on the bench. And that's different. Something I actually want to pick up on Rob. It's a great point that you make about, you know, when they give a new manager 200 million to spend, they do all right. They get back into Champions League and then they don't back them. Or maybe they start losing. What I just don't understand this is that, you know, we saw with Jose Mourinho when he got that new contract and then they just didn't back him in the summer, didn't give him any more money. And by December that year, he was sacked. And ultimately, that's what I'm worried about for the next manager. And this sort of feeds into this question here from Ajmal saying, you know, if Pochettino or Ten Hag don't take the job because they won't have control, which possibly could happen, Rob. You know, Ten Hag.
I've been saying this. Yeah,
and people think it's done. And guys, don't follow these accounts that say it's done because it's just rubbish. Like just you know, it's just nonsense. And this is the thing that so many people think it's done and it's just a done deal. And Ten Hag, genuinely, Rob, from what I've seen of him, he doesn't take any rubbish from anyone. And ultimately, you should see him in his press conferences. They were talking about United to him, and he's like, if you speak about United, I'm not going to answer any more of your questions. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't take nonsense. The Dutch are very sort of, you know, straight to the point. And ultimately, I could see Ten Hag turning around and saying, okay, you're not going to give me what I want. I could wait and get the City job. I could get the Liverpool job. He won't take it. He can go to Dortmund. And at the end of the day, we've got to be very, very careful. Who do we get in? Well, I mean, you've got someone in the job right now. I know fans don't want him. But if there's anyone you bring in, if Poch and Ten Hag don't take it, give it to Rangnick, or you have to wait for someone like Enrique.
There's no way that they'll give it to Rangnick now simply because of the way results go and Man United operate like that. So it's a wait and see process. So it hasn't worked in the last few weeks. They'll just get rid of them. They'll blame someone. They'll blame Ralph Rangnick, isn't it? That's how it works. You're totally right with what you're saying there about whether Ten Hag or Pochettino really want the job. Now, of course, they want the job. Why? Because they've become multimillionaires overnight. It's a huge challenge. Manchester United are one of the biggest clubs in the world. Most managers do want that kind of job. But I think also managers do not want to fail. They don't want an egg on their face. They don't want to go to a football club that's going to ruin their reputation. So when you think about it like that, it becomes a little bit more clear. Yes, Manchester United do believe that they'll get Erik ten Hag. And yes, Erik ten Hag does like the project. But Erik ten Hag wants certain things in place first. And he's absolutely right to guarantee that. Going back to the question there, who do you go and get? Right. So I've said before that I would have gone with Rangnick. When he got the job, I'd have said, you're the full-time manager, and then I'll review it at the end of the season. That's the best way to do it. So you've got stability within your business and the core of your football team. That's what I'd have done. What Man United could do going forward is that they could look to a young progressive manager. So if they do not get Ten Hag and don't get Pochettino, you've then got the choice of either going to the top of the tree. I'm talking in terms of money. So you could go and try and tempt Zidane. Now, we know Zidane don't want the job, but you could go and try. You talked about Enrique, top manager. Will he really want to go there? Roberto Mancini, obviously a huge failure with Italy recently, but won the Premier League before. So there are plenty of names out there. Or do you go Graham Potter? Do you go down the tree you go, I want someone who is going to be maybe not have the glamour of a Jose Mourinho and not maybe be the populist choice like a Ten Hag or even a Pochettino, who would have been a populist choice 12 months ago but isn't now. And do I go for someone lower down? Do I go for Patrick Vieira? Patrick Vieira has shown this year that he can take a pretty rotten Crystal Palace setup and sprinkle stardust all over it and turn it into a team. Could he do it at Man United? I think he probably could. So there are options out there, Haydar. The problem is this, is that Man United are bothered about their shirts, commerce, all of those things. Erik ten Hag is the commerce choice. It's exactly what the Man United fan base want. And when you want subscriptions to MUTV, and when you want season ticket holders to come back, and when you want people to buy United products en masse, you listen to them through social media, and then you deliver to them. And this is why Erik ten Hag is going to get paid a big wage. Someone said the other day, Erik ten Hag is a cost-effective choice because Pochettino...
Buy him out of his contract, yes.
Okay, so buy him out of his contract, yes, 2 million to buy him out compared to Pochettino. Pochettino's team will cost 22 million. So obviously, there's an obvious big gap of 20 million there. But Man United don't think like that. Man United do not think like that. They're going for populism. They look at Erik ten Hag and they go, Erik ten Hag is flavour of the month and we need to inject some flavour. Why? Because the taste is bland at the moment. So this is the problem for Man United, is that's how they operate. It's not a good way to operate, is it? In 12 months' time, if Erik ten Hag's lost his allure and people go, well, we thought you were going to be really good, but Man United are 12th and you haven't bought a striker and you're playing some weird false system that we don't like. I still hear every week that United should be buying strikers. Today on the telly, oh, United need to buy strikers. It's a bit like, okay. If you don't get it right over a short period of time, what's going to happen, Haydar? We've just said what's going to happen. You're going to get gun put to your head, aren't you? It's going to get fired and we'll be on to the next manager. It's just been going on for 10 years. It's the same thing. And you've had all these Hall of Fame managers in there. You've had young managers. You've had club legends. You've had, you know, Sir Alex wannabes. And it hasn't worked. So when will it work? The only time it will work is when you change. And Man United really do need to change now in this summer that comes up.
100%. I think one of the key points here is that time is very, very important. You know, we're see all these things we mentioned today. You know, you've spoken about, obviously, manager coming in, getting certain conditions. So that will have to happen. Then you've got to start with gutting the squad. I actually think, Rob, there's more what the director of football and the footballing hierarchy should be doing now as well, alongside obviously helping the manager. For me, is looking at improving the facilities. Carrington is so old and run down. Modernize it. Look at Leicester's training ground. Look at City's. All these clubs are doing this. I would go and repair the stadium, whether you're going to rebuild the stadium. These things should be in the work as well. We need to modernize. It's not just about the football team and the processes. It's the facilities. We've got to be the best in class again. This is what the footballing side should be doing. You know, and I'd be looking to have from top to bottom, the first team all the way down to the under nines or whatever it is in the academy, play the same brand of football. That is so important. This is what they do in Barcelona. It's what they do in Ajax. And ultimately, United need to decide, in my opinion, they need to decide, you know, are they going to go for a certain philosophy that this is how Man United managers have to play and this is how we play from top on? So does that mean when a manager comes in or when they're looking for a manager, he has to be a manager that fits that philosophy? Or are they going to go for managers that are constantly going to be, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Different philosophies. And this is where we're in the middle ground, because I think what we've done is we always say the United way, you know, wingers, fast counter-attacking football, you know, etc., playing youth, all of this, you know, the United way. But then we go for managers that don't necessarily play that. And so this is where the club needs to decide, because ultimately this is how I view the footballing hierarchy, a successful footballing hierarchy. If the manager leaves tomorrow, the club should still function as normal. And a new manager should come in and the structure should be in place. And you should still be successful. There'll be tweaks. There might be a little bit of sort of style of play tweaks as well. But ultimately, Man United should have such a strong identity the way Ajax do, the way Barcelona do, you know, the way Real Madrid do, you know, to a certain extent, that this is Man United's style of play. This is how Man United play. And this is what the new manager should do. They should come and supplement that, not completely change the philosophy. And this is the biggest problem. So this is why the footballing hierarchy is so important. So people can talk about buying and selling players and backing the manager. That's only a small fraction for me. That's obviously what you see on the surface. Other things you see behind the surface, the training ground, the facilities, you know, the academy. I think we're buying some really good players. There's definitely been that drive, and Nicky Butt did a fantastic job before he went in doing that. But ultimately, the first team and the youth players should be able to slot in, and it should be exactly the same brand, principles, philosophy of football. And we're not seeing that. So for me, that's one of my biggest frustrations. I mean, there's a comment here saying, in hindsight, getting rid of Ollie Carrick McKenna was a mistake. not necessarily. I think, you know, Ranić wanted to keep Carrick and McKenna. McKenna's gone and done a really good job at Ipswich. I think Carrick as well did a really good job when he was there. My thing on them, I think Ollie had to go, Rob, if I'm honest with you, and he hit his ceiling. What we're seeing is the players are a big issue as well. So, you know, I think some of that blame that Ollie got, and I gave him a lot of blame, you know, some of that I'll take back, because these players are spineless. But when I looked at Carrick and McKenna, I never had an issue with them in the coaching staff. My biggest problem was that they were the ones, you know, running the training sessions for Ollie. When Ten Hag comes in, he's obviously going to be someone who is more of a, you know, he's a tracksuit coach. He's the one that's going to do a lot of the coaching as well. He'll have a good coaching team with him. That was always my problem. I had no issue with Carrick and McKenna, two well-respected young coaches. It was more to do with the fact that at a club like Man United, they shouldn't have been the ones running, in my opinion, the show. And, you know, ultimately, if Ranić had kept those two, I think things might have been a little bit easier as well.
I think it shows how powerful perception is, because this is the whole truth of it now, Haydar. Yet we said at the time when results were failing, Ole had to go. You know, that's not the problem. The problem is that if you're going to put an interim in place and then expect to get top four or a trophy or something, then you're just sadly mistaken. As I've kept saying before, you might as well give in a job to Carrick or McKenna or both, and said, you two run the team so we get consistency through the ranks until the end of the season, and then we choose our new manager. That might have made more sense. Instead, you brought another guy in from the outside who's come in, done a root and branch review, and is now going to tell us that the roots and the branches are ruined and you need to start again. So did we really need that, or could we have just guessed that earlier on in the kind of course of it? I kind of agree with the comment, is that, you know, you look at these things and you look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played 4-2-3-1 and put the same team out every week because his squad was limited. And that was fed back to the board, and they worked together and they looked at targets. And they brought in Jadon Sancho because they had a problem on the right. They brought in Varane because they had a problem at centre back. And then they blew it all apart to go and get Cristiano when they could have just kept building. And what happened? Ole gets the sack because the team collapses and it all falls apart. Whose fault is it? So, you know, Ole has to carry the can for results, and that's why he went. But it's absolutely fundamentally true that Man United, rather than say playing stick or twist, they should have just stuck with what they got. Instead, they twisted. They thought that they could do what they did before with Ole when he came in for Jose. They thought they could do that and they'd get an uplift and they'd be right. It doesn't work like that at big clubs. Big clubs very rarely do the interim thing. How many can you remember at the highest level would have had...
It's just Chelsea with Gus Hiddink. That's it.
Chelsea, but Chelsea, like, Gus Hiddink was like manager like six times. It's like, you know, like, yeah, he's almost part of the fabric anyway. Just used to go and come back. So that's Chelsea. It's a very, very different setup to Man United. So I think you could have stuck with Ole for the rest of the season if your long-term plan was to take your club in a different direction with a different coach, but they knee-jerked. They got beaten against Liverpool. They got beaten against Watford. Everyone got upset. We got upset. We did shows going, this is awful. This is unacceptable. But if you're the board, you've got to be more than that, haven't you? Fans can get upset. Pundits can get upset. But if you're the board running the business, if you just manage it like a fan, what happens? Well, what we're seeing is happening, isn't it? It's populism. So I do look at it like this, is that whoever you get your next coach in, great. But you're going to have to stick with them. If results are bad, you're going to have to stick with them. And we'll be doing shows where we'll be going, what is Ten Hag doing? He's playing this weird 4-2-3-1. It doesn't work. Donny van de Beek looks awful still. You know, what's going on here? We can write these shows today, Haydar, and present them in 6 months and a year's time, because they're going to happen. They will happen. But the most important thing is that when they do happen, is that people don't jump out their prams. Yeah, is that people go, do you know what? We're just going to have to bear it for a year or two and see what he can do from that. And that's the magic of this, is that Jurgen Klopp came eighth year one with Liverpool, seventh or eighth, and they were a horrible football team. Horrible. And it got better. That's how you work it. That's how you do it. You have trust in the guy you're giving the keys to the car to, and you say, go and drive it. You can't then just kind of pull the rug out of their front of their feet in 6 months, a year, and then try and change direction every single time.
Rob, I just want to clear this up as well. Vincent's saying, you know, getting rid of all the coaching staff, bringing in Ranić, now the team or relegation firm. I still want to clear this up, that Ranić wanted to keep McKenna and Carrick, that he didn't get rid of them. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, he came in without a coaching staff. He's brought in some coaching staff. The whole thing's just been a bit of a mess. We saw improvements, but ultimately, and at the end of the day, you know, the interim tag, I think, has been his biggest downfall. And to be honest, Rob, Ranić as well looks like he just wants to get to the end of the season. It's just so...
I don't blame
everything
him.
Everything is so poor. Everything's so bad. It doesn't matter what team he puts out. And also, one little criticism I will have of Ranić for me, and I understand why he's done this. He has stepped away from the gegenpressing and his philosophy very, very early, in my opinion. And I would have liked to seen him try a bit longer to do that. I know these players, you know, can't do that, but I think he should have been a bit more firm and be like, no, this is how I play. Ultimately, the problem is, because he's an interim, you know, it's a catch-22. We've been saying that through the whole show. But I would have liked him to seen him do it longer, because his philosophy does work. You know, the fundamentals of it do work. Look at Klopp's side, look at Tuchel's side. You know, it does work in the Premier League. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like, I felt like he stepped away from that a little bit too early.
Can you gegenpress with Ronaldo in the team?
No, but I think that there are other parts of the team which could have done.
This is the problem. No, but the problem is that, isn't it, Haydar? Just in a real nutshell, like, I agree with you in principle. Like, I wanted to see more gegenpressing. I was like, this is why you're bringing this coach in, so you can replicate the good stuff that City and Liverpool do with a coach who invented this system. Like, he didn't invent everything in football, but he was the kind of godfather of these systems to be able to do it in the Bundesliga. Now people say, oh, but, you know, he's not Klopp, he's not Tuchel, he's not all these guys, he's not Nagelsmann. But he's a guy who kind of pushed a lot of these old school philosophies and turned them into new school. But if you're there on the training pitch, Haydar, and fundamentally you have to play Cristiano Ronaldo, because he does, he's got no choice, the board want him to be played, how are you supposed to gegenpress? You can't. He's 37. You might get away with it with Cavani, but as we've seen with Cavani, Cavani can't stay fit for 2 minutes. So you've got a problem, haven't you? So if you're the manager, you have to find ways around it. And the only way he's been able to kind of get a team out there and get some kind of performances in the last several weeks is by changing his own philosophy. So it's all very well saying, yeah, we'd have loved you to stick with it, mate. But we might have lost those games that we drew in that period, because that was what we were seeing. We were seeing the performances drop off. The big problem is that this set of Man United players cannot do that high-energy style because they're not good enough. It's not really just about fitness. It's about mindset and players who are willing to give their bodies for the team. You know, when you look at Liverpool, you know, someone like Jordan Henderson will give his body in midfield. Do you know what I mean? He'll go and give it to make sure that the guys in front of him get the ball in good positions. Man United, Fred runs around a little bit, but has very little quality. Scott McTominay runs around a lot, but has very little quality. It's the same issue, quality versus application. It's the same problem in every position at Manchester United. And Ralph sees that more than you and me, and more than all of our audience here on the side there in the comments, because we see them on the football pitch, but he sees them every minute of the day. And if he thinks after seeing them every day that they can't gegenpress, I'm with him. And he knows that. And like you just said there, he looks like he wants out now. You know, he's going to get out of here. He'll go and be manager of Austria. He'll probably do really well in that kind of system where he can build a team who are maybe limited in terms of talent, but actually have a good mindset to work hard and application and be like his old style Bundesliga teams that he's managed have always had hard work. He said last week, and it was absolutely spot on, that Man United need to look at players who have a profile where they can be aggressive but still have quality. He said it. He's like, he's not lying.
Jose said the same thing 4 years ago.
He did, but the problem, all right, okay. People always go to me, oh, you hate Jose, Rob, and that sort of thing. And that's not true at all. But the problem with Jose and what Jose was saying is that Jose wanted just a style of player. Jose wanted to dominate games physically. That's what he wanted to do. He used to coach the defense, coach the midfield, and he openly said he didn't coach attackers. He wanted to have that solid base. And he was like the reflection of a low block. Football in the modern day does not play the low block, plays a mid block. and it plays on the counter. So that's what it does. That's what Ranić does. So you've got the right coach, but you've got to empower him by giving him a two-year contract, Haydar. You can't say, can you fix it in 8 weeks? I did this show with you and we said that. We went, you're not going to fix it in 8 weeks. You're not going to fix it in 12 weeks. You might get better performances, but you'll get worked out because you're not doing it. You're not doing it week after week after week. You're going to fall off. And that's what this team has done. You cannot play against Everton today and say to Cristiano when he's had an injury and he's been sick, yeah, we need some high tempo up top. You're just going to get Ronaldo walking around and trying to link play. And then you get Bruno running around to try and compensate, and that ruins his game. And you get Jaden looking like, what the hell am I doing at this football club? You know, it's a problem, isn't it? So many issues, but you've got to be smart about them. There's always smart solutions, but unless you employ them, there's no point.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for all your comments. Thanks for all your input, for some fantastic questions. And, you know, you're the reason why this show is so brilliant as well. Rob, final word. All I'm going to say is, look, 7 games or so left. Just get to the end of the season. You know, we should hear about the manager pretty soon. Look, it looks like Ten Hag. It will be Ten Hag. He is obviously in the title race at the minute. But what I will say, and I will say, is obviously we'll do a couple more shows once the manager is confirmed, and we'll do some sort of players coming in, a couple more analysis and things like that. So we're just waiting for it to be announced. But what I will say is, patience with Ten Hag. That would be my thing to say. I know this is looking more to next season, but patience with him, because I honestly see it. Do you remember, was it LVG first season, preseason, when I won that cup in America?
Obviously, yeah, I remember. Everyone. I covered it for work. I saw every game.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus, United are going to win the league here. First game, Jesse Lingard playing right wing back, gets off, gets injured after. Hey, listen, Rob, this was what, like 2014? How old was I in 2014? I was like, I was still young, you know. I was still like maybe 19, 20 or whatever it was. You know, obviously we're sitting there and United had awful stuff. Did they have 10 points from 10 games? Or something awful like
that?
It was
bad. You know,
really, really bad. I'm not saying, and look, LVG spent a lot of money that summer. So what I'm saying is that that could very much happen. Even if Ten Hag gets the right profiles, it's going to take a lot of time. For me, I hope United finish eighth, don't have any European football. They can focus exactly what they need to do, get that coach on the training pitch, having one game a week, and just drill these guys. Drill, drill, drill. Get those principles into them. Get them understand the system inside out. Get them, you know, almost uncoaching all the poor things that they've been doing after the last past two years or so. And just patience. And that's where I'm sitting here. And, you know, if I see people say to me, oh, well, 3 years of no challenge for the title, you know, where are the standards? Actually, if I see better football, you know, in player improvement, I see, you know, better tactics, and I see United, you know, winning some of these domestic titles and slowly incrementally improving each year, then I will be happy. And then obviously in that third, fourth year, United should be challenging for the title.
Look, Liverpool have won one Premier League in about 23 years. That's what they've won. That's the truth. It can take a long time for things to kind of come round and go around again. It really can. And this is why I say it to Man United fans. It's not a kind of double bluff to say to fans, have no expectations. Of course, you should have expectations, but also understand the process and that it will take time. So if you go and get Ten Hag, you've got an opportunity. You've then got to just keep your fingers crossed that the board do what a modern board should do. And that is the problem. And this is why, you know, look, with the masterclass here, you know, we always do tactics. Really what we're going to do to the end of the season is we're going to kind of talk through some of the deeper issues at the football club, along with the tactical outlay. And as you said there, when Ten Hag gets announced, I'm sure he will do in the future, then we'll talk a little bit more strategy and about how Man United can fix themselves from the inside out. But I just think at the moment, United fans, we say patience. What you said at the start of the show, Haydar, I think counts the most. You said, watch the games, feel bad about it at a time, and then go and live your life. That's the best advice we can give. That really, really is, because this is the problem with Man United. Man United absolutely relies on you being fundamentally engaged 24/7 in their world. That's what they want you to do. Don't give it them all the time. Just go in and out when you need to, and then find your way. And as the team improves, and I hope it does under Ten Hag, then you can kind of loosen up again. You can kind of start to enjoy it a little bit more. It's not going to be enjoyable for the next few weeks. Unfortunately, even when Ten Hag gets the job, I don't know about you, Ada. I'm not going to be cock-a-hoop. I'm not going to be.
I'm not even wrong. When the sort of the fake announcement and obviously Ogden's jumped his gun a little bit when he went and wrote that and the whole of Twitter was getting all excited. And people saying to me, "Why are you not excited?" I'm like, because I've seen this story all the time. I sat there and I was excited about LVG. I was very excited about Jose Mourinho. I wasn't excited about Ollie, and I think I never was. And for me, we did well over those first two years or so, but I was never excited. And I think it's because I've just seen that ultimately that the problems run deeper. We know there's deep fundamental problems that, when a new manager comes in, doesn't matter if it's Pep that comes in tomorrow, he's not winning the league with the current setup. So that's how I kind of sit there. I'm like you, and I'm just, it's almost like a bit more objective now. There's no emotion in it, and I'm just going to wait and see, and that's all I can do as a fan.
Yeah, I certainly don't believe in like completely removing all the emotion out of football. Like, I watch the Everton game, and just like every other Man United fan, I felt it. Yeah, every bad bit of it, I felt it, because you do. You can't kind of stop your emotions, but what you can do is to, if you understand the problem, it is easier, isn't it, to just let it unravel a little bit and kind of go, well, do you know what, it's out of my control. I don't have to kind of worry about it 24/7. And that's how I feel about our football club. And just to kind of close on this, I think Andy Mitten said it not so long ago, and a few other United fans have said it over time, is that Man United have come through periods of complete famine of success. Yeah, complete famine. Win the European Cup in 58. You get to 1968, or not, I'm sorry, the buzz bit, obviously the crash in 58. You get to 68, you win the title, you win the European Cup, and then you go on this huge barren run after that of winning one league title, and you get relegated. Can you imagine Man United getting relegated? Can you imagine what those Everton fans are going through today? No wonder why they were celebrating. But Man United got relegated in the 70s, and I was born through that period of the 80s where we were terrible, and you accepted it because that was where the club were. And that's where we are today. We deserve to be this bad because we are this bad. So let's hope that the next manager, that Man United spin the wheel, roll that dice, that this time they get 2 sixes and they come up with some players that help you, that they are ruthless with the players that don't help you. Doesn't matter if they sell shirts, and you find a brand new way. And football does have its ways of changing over a year. Like in 12 months' time, we might be saying, we like this team again, but it's going to take a little bit of time. It's not going to get solved in the short term or the midterm. This is very much a long-term issue that's going to have to be fundamentally unraveled by a Man United board that doesn't know much about football.
Great show today, guys. Thank you for all the comments, all the likes. Hit the subscribe button as well. Give us a phone at TF Masterclass. Give myself a phone at Hader_Rubani. Give Rob a phone at @Rob_B. I'm going to finish on this because this is what Ranić has just said. Oh, yeah. He has said the players should be eager to play Champions League football, but as long as we play like today, they don't deserve it. I'm going to end on that. See you guys all later, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.